we're so excited. First, I want to remind you, if you weren't here last week, we want to let you know, listen to the podcast. We announced our next 90-day initiative. So we have a five-year vision, and that's to multiply into five different zip codes. And so what we're doing, though, is breaking down that 5 years by 90 days. What are we doing for 90 days to kind of walk toward that? And so the last 90 days, we told our story, and we had 107. Our goal was 90. We had 107 of you, 107 times that people shared their stories, 107 people that got to hear or just be engaged for Jesus. That's incredible, really incredible. And I've just heard some amazing testimonies from you guys about how God kind of moved in that in your lives. And so the next 90-day initiative is we are going to be participating as a church in 90 days of prayer and fasting. And so last week, we started the service just with like cricket. Nobody was smiling. Like, why are we doing that? And at the end, I've never seen so many people excited to give stuff up. Okay, so please, please go and listen to that. It'll kind of give you an understanding of what we're doing. Also, an email went out this week with very detailed information about how to start, what this looks like, and then we're going to be doing corporate fasting, which means the last 5 days of each 30-day segment that we're doing, 30 times 3 is 90, okay? The last 5 days, we're going to fast something together as a church. All of us for 5 days. We're going to have a worship night in the middle of that to kind of encourage us and strengthen us and focus our attention. So that is all in that detailed email. If you did not get that, please write your email address down on that connection card. We want to make sure that you receive it, okay? Receive that information. I want you to know we're 1 week into our prayer and fasting initiative. The testimonies already. And even this morning as we were worshiping, I'm like, something's happening. Like we are getting rid of something in the physical to take hold of something in the spiritual. And it's brewing. I feel it. I feel it in my own life, and I feel it in our church. And I'm so excited for it. So if you have any questions about that, please let us know. The last thing I'll say about it is that over the 90 days, we want to make sure that every single day is covered in fasting. Every single day. So at least one of the days you can sign up for to say at least once in the next 90 days, I'm going to own, you know, that day. We had people sign up on the sign up there and say, you know, Wednesdays for the next month are my day. I'm owning it. I'm fasting for the initiatives that we have talked about, which are all in that podcast and in that email. So with that, there's a sign up underneath the prayer and fasting sign with the next 90 days laid out. Please write your name. We want to know what day are you choosing? What day are you covering to fast for three things? Individual breakthrough, your own personal breakthrough, corporate breakthrough in our church, and community breakthrough. Okay, so those are those zip codes we're talking about, breakthrough in those zip codes. So, all right, that's my fasting announcement. Now, we are going to start our new series today. And so we've been working through our core values, and one of our core values is transparency. And our tagline for that is authentic models of Jesus. You can see that's on the back of your bulletin or over here as well. Transparency is a core value here at Village Church. If you've been here any amount of time, you know that pretty much nothing is off limits for what Cody and I talk about, what we share. We try to be really open and model that from here. We are not perfect. I think you found that out. If you've been here for any length of time. And so we really think that it's important for a church to be authentic, to be truly following Jesus and to model that in a real, open, kind of vulnerable way. And so we're going to talk about transparency. What we found with transparency is there's kind of like two sides of this coin. Either we think that transparency means that you're you're under-filtered. We sometimes think of transparency as, I'm just going to blah, 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 blah. I have no, I don't even care. I don't care what anyone thinks. I just say it, right? We think that's transparency. It's actually not transparency. In a lot of ways, you know, people can like, on their, you know, social media, just like, I want to assert my opinion all day long. But really, they're not being vulnerable. They're not actually modeling who they are, who their heart, you know, who they really are. And then the other side of the coin is that we're over-filtered. So we're under-filtered or we're over-filtered. We don't share anything, right? We're like, I'm just like a wall. You will never know what's really going on in here. Now, I'm not just talking about like I'm introverted, because extroverts can be walled up too. They can be over-filtered too. Like, I don't really let anyone in. I don't even let God in. And so we're going to tackle this issue because it's something that really hits each one of us, right? So that's what we're starting today, and we're calling this series Seen, Transparent Living. Like, we want to be seen, and so we're gonna look at what that looks like in Scripture.
Yeah. So today we're going to be reading out of Isaiah 6, starting at verse 1. So if you'd like to, if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn there, I'll give you just a moment there. And if you ever want to catch up on our past sermons, those can be found on our website or on our app or our podcast. But let's read. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." So this passage is Isaiah the prophet. He's having kind of a vision in this moment, right? And he's seeing all these incredible things, and he's in God's presence. He's like instantly transported to God's presence. And the presence of God just overwhelms him. And all he can do is come clean. All he can do is come clean. And the truth that we want to bring out of this passage today is that God's presence forces transparency. God's presence forces transparency. You know, there's been so many times that I've talked to people and they've asked me this question: why do I get so emotional when I'm at church? Why do I get so emotional when I even step on the grounds of church, right? Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that we pray for almost every Sunday morning is that walls would be broken down and that God's presence would be free to flow through every single one of us. There'd be no hindrances. God's presence knocks down walls, guys. We can try and we can try and we can try to build those walls up, right? But God's presence will always act as a battering ram, saying, "There is more for you. Stop hiding. Stop hiding. Let me in." He just wants in. He already knows, right? He already knows what's behind those walls, right? And so what gets us emotional is when we realize, "Oh my goodness, God sees me. I am seen in this moment." Mm-hmm. So if God's presence forces transparency, then we want to ask this question today: what should we do in those exposing moments? What should we do when we are exposed in God's presence, when we are seen?
Right, and I think Isaiah gives us a really great understanding of what this looks like. And I want you to picture this. Like, can you imagine if the presence of God filled this place so physically that we could say something like his robe filled up the cafeteria? Like, can you even imagine what that would have looked like? And the angels are flying and all this crazy. Like, honestly, it's just really kind of outside of anything that any of us has ever experienced. And so Isaiah has this incredible thing, incredible reaction, and I think it gives us kind of a model for walking through. What do we do then? We come into God's presence. We believe God's here, right? We believe his presence is in this place, so what should our reaction be? He's with us when we go to work, or when we're in the car, or when we worship at our church, whatever. What should this look like in relationship with him? And the first thing we see is that we should confess. We should confess. You know, Isaiah, the first thing that happens, he's just like seeing this incredible thing, and he says to me, "Woe," he says, not to me, he says to God, "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined. I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Like, all of a sudden, he realizes how sinful he is. Like, he is having a spiritual moment of reality, like, this is who I really am. And there is no hiding in the face of this glory. Because, right, where God is, sin cannot be. God is holy. He is holy. And, you know, that's hard for us. We were processing this, just like the lengths at which God goes to prove his holiness and how that kind of challenges are, like, well, God, you know, does he really care if I make mistakes? You know what I mean? Like, if you read the Old Testament, it's like, wow, God is really, like, firm. Is holiness. This is what it means to be holy. And there were so many laws, right, that he was like, in order to stay in my presence, in order to be okay, you got to A, B, C, D, E, you got to make sure sin is dealt with before you walk in here. And so here he is in the temple, and he is realizing, I did not do enough. There's nothing I could do to get right, to get clean before God. It doesn't matter if I followed every law. He is so holy. He's so much bigger than me. And so his first reaction to being exposed is confession. He confesses right then and there. He comes clean. This is who I am. It's been hiding deep in there, and it's coming out now. He realized his own spiritual condition. You know, what's interesting is that he talks about his lips. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. Now, we're in Isaiah chapter 6. There are five other chapters where Isaiah is being used as the mouthpiece of God already before he has this. So he's out giving God's word, and God's giving him visions and whatever. And he realizes, not only are the people I'm coming to a mess, I am a mess, right? Like, I am God's prophet, and I am not enough. I'm not okay. And this confession, this kind of coming clean moment, is so important for us to understand if we're going to talk about being transparent.
Yeah. So when I was 14 years old, I had already found myself in an addiction to pornography. And I remember fervently praying over and over again with, like, just tears, God, would you let me be caught? Mm-hmm. Like, it just hurt so much dealing with that and just feeling that and knowing that I was in that behind closed doors, right? And I just wanted freedom so much from that that I would pray and pray, like, God, would you just let me be caught? And I was. And my mom found stuff on the computer, and that was a not enjoyable conversation, right? But I was like, it was this. At the same time, there was like the, like, oh gosh, this is super awkward, right? But this relief of just, oh, okay, I am found out. I'm discovered, and I can be real in this moment. And so my mom, not really knowing how to deal with this, she said, well, you're gonna talk to the pastor. And I was like, oh good, that's gonna be fun, right? So here, 14-year-old Cody walks in this, you know, pastor's office, and I'm sitting there like, what are we gonna talk about, buddy? And he just kind of looked at me like knowingly and was like, yeah, so your mom told me what's going on. And tell you what, from here on, you know, anytime I ask you how you're doing, you and I will both know what I'm talking about, right? And so I'm like, okay, and that was it. And he never followed up. And I went right back, right? I had no opportunity to get free. I was found out that there was no opportunity to get free for me in that moment. Mm-hmm. And I struggled with pornography for another 13 years after that. And Dallas Willard is an author, and he wrote in his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines. And, you know, we're talking about being seen, and an amazing descriptor of spiritual disciplines that I've heard before is that it's like disrobing before God, the spiritual disciplines. It's being completely exposed and vulnerable. And Dallas Willard, in his book, he outlines, I think, like 15 different spiritual disciplines, and there's three that he ends with. And the second to last is confession. But the one right before that, he lumps it together, and it's fellowship. Yeah. So here's the first thing we learn, right? Is that confession requires somebody else, right? Confession should require somebody else. Now, not all of us are going to be literally in the throne room of God, transported there, right? And in his, you know, magnificence in that moment, right? But God has set us up for confession in community, James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another and you will be healed. Okay, so there's community there. There's fellowship, right? But fellowship and then confession is not enough.
Yeah.
What he says after that, the last spiritual gift or spiritual discipline that he says to practice is submission. And what submission does for us is that when we confess to somebody, they have to be somebody that we know we will submit to. Someone that can lead us into greater things. Someone that can call us out on what we've been and call us into what we should be and can be in Jesus. Too often we confess things to people who try to coddle us and say, well, it's okay. We all got our stuff. We all got our hang-ups. Only God can judge us anyway, right? How often we hear that. But that is not God's design. Mm. He has designed us in community so that we can submit to brothers and sisters that we can trust that are more Christ-like, hopefully, than we are currently, and will commit to calling us into more and to helping us grow. If we don't have those three things, you'll stay stuck.
Yeah.
I had the fellowship at 14. I had the confession. But I didn't have anybody to submit to in that moment. I'm not trying to blame other people in that. Don't hear that from me right now, right? But I'm pretty sure that things would have gone differently if I would have confessed to the right person at that time, right? And that's the importance that we're trying to bring out here, right? Confession is incredibly, deeply valuable, unburdening the things that we keep in the darkness and bringing them out into the light. But unless we have somebody else with us that can receive those things and set them aside for us and say, let's get rid of that right now in the name of Jesus, let's hand that over to Jesus once and for all and have them hold hands with us and walk into our new future and the light that Jesus provides for us. If we don't do those things, we tend to just pick that stuff back up because that's all we know. That's all we know. And unfortunately, there is comfort in what we know. And there can be fear behind what we don't. Yeah. That's why we need a guide to show us, let me show you what Jesus can do. Let me show you the more that exists for you.
You know, when we come into God's presence, we are exposed. We don't have the choice, right? Like, the very nature of his holiness exposes us. And that's what Cody talked about, just sometimes we're moved to tears or whatever, even in worship at church, because God is here. He's with us. But, you know, it's not enough just to sit there. And in fact, there's other times in Scripture, you know, Peter, when Jesus, I don't know if you remember, in the Gospel, Jesus did the great miraculous catch of fish. You remember that? And Peter comes, and what does he do? He throws himself down. He's like, oh my gosh, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. Like, that's his first reaction. It's like in the presence of God, all of a sudden, when we know he's right there, it's like, oh, wait, like, I'm not ready. Like, I'm not where I need to be. But confession is the first thing. You know, I don't know what Isaiah's options were. I don't know if there was like the door right behind him, like, I'm out, you know, like the angels start flying, you're like, peace out, this is weird, I don't like it, this is making me feel uncomfortable, right? And we do that sometimes. We do that in God's presence, like, well, you know, and honestly too, like, it's easy to do it. It's easy to be like, in our spirit, just close down, like, no, I'm not going there, I refuse. I've heard of people say that, like, God told me that, and I don't care, I'm not doing
Absolutely.
It. Like, I just don't want to go. I've done that in my own life with certain things, right? Like, can be pretty hard-headed. But confession is just the first reaction, the thing that softens our heart toward, and we're going to see what God does when we do that. It's incredible what's offered us after that moment. But we first have to get vulnerable. We first have to allow that, you know, that exposing to happen. Like, you see what you're doing, we're on board, we're right here. Woe to me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And so confess, you know, in James, when Cody was talking, I was thinking about the book of James, where it says, confess your sins to one another and be healed. That's a really interesting thing, because, you know, I've been studying church history and like how confession came into the church and the people that are kind of responsible for really honing in on, like, this is confession, what the Bible says about it. And then, you know, it kind of went to this very formal, like, you had to buy your forgiveness in the church. And then so then we were like, whoa, that's, we got to get away from that. And so now we've kind of lost the art of confession in the church because we're afraid that it's going to be so legalistic in a way, like we're going to be, relying on somebody to give us forgiveness. But there is power in coming clean to somebody else and saying, here's what I'm doing. And they can say, by Jesus, you're forgiven, not because of me, but by the blood of Jesus, you are forgiven. Let's set that aside. Let's work through that together. And so confession is a pathway to honesty. It's a pathway to freedom, to healing. Confess your sins to one another and be healed. Are you willing? This is a question just for you. A yes or no, closed question. Are you willing to live exposed to God? Are you willing? Are there things that you're just like, at the sight of God's presence, you're like, I'm out the door. Like, those are just areas, I've heard people say, God and I have an understanding. God and I, we have an understanding. He knows. I'll tell you what, that is limited living. You're not living in freedom and healing and the victory that comes in Jesus if you're hiding, if you're unwilling. And then the last question I want to ask you is, what do you need to confess? What do you need to confess? Because that weight of living like that, I love what Cody said. As soon as he was found out, he was like, oh, thank God. Like the relief that comes, right? From like, it's out. It's no longer just my burden to bear. What do you need to confess? If we're going to live seen, if we're going to live transparent and authentic models of Jesus in order to reach 5 zip codes and have this move of God that is unprecedented in our lives, if we're going to do that, we have first got to get this down. We've got to master confession.
Yeah. So the next thing after confession, we have to accept the forgiveness offered us, right? And in this amazing moment in this passage, right, this seraphim flew with this live coal and he took it and touched Isaiah's mouth with it. And he says, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. See, Isaiah's sin in that moment was completely forgiven, but I love that it says God also just took away that guilt. He took away the guilt. A work was done. Oftentimes we tend to think of guilt as shame, and we kind of get those two things confused, right? But guilt is justified. We're guilty or we're not guilty, right? But too often, once our guilt is removed, the shame keeps us in the same place. The shame keeps us in bondage. The shame keeps us in prison. Even though the prison door might be open and Jesus said, your sins are absolved, you are no longer guilty of the sin that you have committed in your life, we still stay in the cell. That shame keeps us behind those bars, even though the door is open and freedom is right in front of us. And our sin is not just covered up to have to deal with another time, right? It's completely removed. It's absolved of us. It's gone. It's as if it never happened. We've talked about it before, that word justification. When we come into salvation with Jesus and we give him everything and we say, I have done all these things. Would you forgive me? We are justified. It is just as if I'd never sinned.
Yeah.
But that shame keeps us. That shame can keep us where we are, and that shame is a choice, but guilt is not. Shame is this choice to continue to feel bad about what we've done, to continue to feel the burden of what we've done and not feel the relief and just say, you know what, I know better than you, God, right? Even though you might think that I'm forgiven, I refuse to forgive myself for who I've been. I refuse to let go of this. Mm-hmm. And that's pride, because we're thinking we know better than God does in that. Amen? That's how it works. Shame is a disgusting lie from the devil, from the pit of hell, that keeps so many of us from the freedom that Jesus has already provided us.
Yeah, I've shared this story before, but Matt and I, about probably 10 years ago now, had this heart change in our lives when it came to finances, when it came to money. And so, we didn't know how to manage our money, and we started our relationship off, our marriage off, in debt. And then we spent a few fun years accruing more debt. And then we started, we came across Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. We took that class was born, and we just kind of started the journey of plugging away at this debt, right? And I just remember that season of life, like people would like start, and then like a year in, they'd, you know, have like some crazy inheritance, or the housing market went up, and they had all this equity, and they sold their house, they paid off all their debt, and they were like, we're done. And we were still plugging away. It took us almost 9 years. Every penny we had to fight for. Literally, it was just like, ugh. Like it was just this like, this debt, this weight on us. And I'll never forget, last year actually, right before Judah was born, we paid off our last debt. We paid off our car. Yes, it was so exciting. Yeah. I like it, yeah. It was, I mean, it's been a while, so I'm kind of over it, but. So we paid off the debt, and I'll never forget getting that final statement in the mail with the pink slip to our car, like, it's yours. You own it. You know, what would it be like then if the car company called me the next, you know, the loan called me the next week and was like, actually, there's more, right? No, that doesn't happen, right? Because there's a legal binding document that has said, now you own this car, it's done, it's dealt with. You know, when Isaiah came into the temple, the angel, he's like freaking out, like, I didn't do the sacrifices, and here's, I mean, picture the Ark of the Covenant. Like, this is where they came with the altar, and then the glory of God is over the top of it, and he's like, I didn't do the steps. Like, I didn't do the work to be here. I'm not ready. And the angel comes. He takes that coal off that altar where they would normally sacrifice a lamb, right? That's where they would sacrifice for their sin. And he came. He touched it to his lips. And what does he say? He just says very definitively, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. Bam. Done. You know, in John, the Gospel of John, written hundreds of years later, there's this really interesting line where it's referencing a prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah is filled with prophecy about Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And so at that point, it says, and Isaiah saw the glory of God, of Jesus Christ. Isaiah saw Jesus. And so when we hear that day when he was in the temple, it was Jesus sitting there. It was God. I mean, he just saw the mediator between us, right? Because Jesus was God in the flesh form, because there had to be blood shed. The wages of sin is what? Death. And so God said, you know what? No more. There's not enough lambs that are ever born to handle this. I will send the perfect lamb. I will come as a human being in Jesus Christ, my son, and he will be the perfect spotless lamb for you. And so just picture Isaiah there, and the mediator 400 years before is sitting there. The sin's already dealt with, right? Because he's eternal. And he's just like so overwhelmed. And there wasn't a lamb needed. The lamb was there. And so he just took the coal and was like, I told Cody, I wonder if the coal was just like, this is just like a symbol for you here. Like, there you go. Like, it's dealt with. It's dealt with. It's done. You know, the problem is if we live only in confession and don't accept forgiveness, we have unhealthy transparency. Unhealthy. Like, constantly just berating ourselves and even making light of it and funny, you know, this is just who I am, ha, 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 you know, like all that. Like defining ourselves by our mistakes and our sin and our brokenness when we are seen as children of God before Jesus, when he mediated for us. We cannot only confess, we have to accept that forgiveness. I love it. It's just, if it's done, it's done, right? If the debt was paid, the debt was paid. They don't call you back up and say, oh, never mind, we're going to start this up again, even though you didn't know. It's done. Jesus paid the price. We must learn to accept forgiveness.
Yeah. The question that I would ask then now is right now, some of you might be feeling guilt in this moment, that justified guilt for things that you're harboring, but then others might be feeling that shame. Right? And so today you have to kind of figure out for yourself, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, he will guide you in this, right? Is there guilt in your life that you need to shed? Is there guilt that you need forgiveness for? Are there things in your life that you have done that you have not confessed, that you haven't accepted forgiveness over? Or maybe you're just living in shame and you've already been freed from it, but you need to step out of the prison that you've built for yourself. Once we go into worship, we're going to have some people on the sides that can help you with either one. They're going to be more than happy to help you with either one. But I would pray that today, so many of you would find true freedom.
Yeah.
And that the burdens that you came into this room with, you'd be able to leave them behind absolutely and know you are free in what Jesus has done for you. You are free and what he has provided for you already. Ask for forgiveness if you have guilt, but please surrender that shame if your guilt has already been forgiven.
Right, so we see that in the face of God, Isaiah was exposed and he confessed and then he accepted that forgiveness. But there's a purpose for that. There's a reason why, and God capitalized on this moment of transparency with Isaiah. And I'll read this to you in verse 8. It's like, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And it's almost like he's just looking at the angels like, I got something to do. Who's willing? Who's willing? And little Isaiah's down here and he says, here am I, send me. Like, I'm down here, hello. I'll be the one, I'll go for you. I'll be your mouthpiece. I'll do whatever it is that you want. And then, you know, the rest of Isaiah 6 is like, okay, this is what you're gonna do. Like, the God just kind of gives him like, all right, you can be the one. Here's the instructions for how this is gonna go. And so the last part that we see here is that we have to step into renewed purpose. We have to confess, accept forgiveness, it's done, and then step into renewed purpose. Because like I said, Isaiah had already had a purpose, right? Isaiah 1 through 5, he's the mouthpiece of God. He's telling them, you know, this is, you need to repent, and kind of here's the warnings for God's people, like you're kind of off base here and whatever. But then he has this moment of confession and this redemption and this clean and atonement, like you're done, it's dealt with, you're now brand new. And then all of a sudden he's like, now I want to step into purpose, like send me. If you didn't send me before, send me now. Here am I, choose me. It wasn't like God was like, okay, good, you atoned for it. Now I have this purpose for you. Like he was kind of like talking about it, you know, like third wheel. Isaiah's in the temple and he's like, oh, angels, who will go for us? And Isaiah's like, me, please, eagerly, choose me is where he's at. You know, transparency produces confidence in who God has made us to be. Transparency, if when we get through our confession, and those are hard things, guys, and when we accept forgiveness, which is also a hard thing, there is another side of that mountain of confession and accepting forgiveness. Sometimes that just feels like the worst part, like, oh, this is going to be awful. But on the other side of this is this unleashing into purpose, this confidence, like, I'm good, I'm fine. Now, let's unleash you to do what God has made you to do. So transparency produces confidence in who God has made us to be and enables us to step out for him unafraid. Unafraid.
Wouldn't that just be incredible?
To own who God has made you to be, stepping into renewed purpose.
Yeah. You know, I told you that for several years after I was discovered, I... you know, stayed in sin because I didn't know how to really get out of it after that. And so, you know, I took a call and I became a worship leader at a church and I was worship leading while I still have this sin in my life. And I had purpose and God wanted to use me and he was trying to use me. But every time I would get up and I would lead worship, in the back of my mind, all I was thinking about was my sin. All I was thinking about was like, how can I possibly do this? The shame was overwhelming at times. And I would get like choked up in those moments. And I think people were thinking maybe at that time that I was just like, you know, overwhelmed by the worship, but I was overwhelmed by shame a lot of those times. But the fruit of the purpose in my call was absolutely stifled by the sin that I was choosing to live in. But God still allowed me to operate in that purpose. You know, there's a verse in Romans that I quote a lot, but it's God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. The giftings and the callings that he gave me, I was still an accomplished musician. I was able to write songs, but the fruit of my ministry was absolutely stifled. And what's amazing is that once I finally, like, knew that I was so done that I needed to get help, And I confessed to people, my wife, I confessed to everybody that I needed to. And at the end of that confession, I even brought the counselor in that I went to seek out, and I had a sermon with him there, and I had him tell everybody in the church, this is what we've been talking about together. I was that committed to transparency because I knew the only other option was staying where I was. Mm-hmm. But here's the fruit that happened after that, right? Like, it wasn't because of me. The giftings and the calling were already there. But then God paved the way for me to be in this band. And then we were able to release an album. And we got to open for all these big-name Christian artists. I played for 5,000 people. I had 2 songs on the radio in Sacramento. And all these amazing fruit came out of that, right? People were, like, telling me how the songs that I'd written had impacted their lives in such incredible ways. But I've never really put it together until literally right now that that's really what God did for me. He opened up the fruit of the calling that I already had on my life, but he was able to then use me because I wasn't holding him back by the sin I was hanging on to. I was in that jail cell. He wanted me free. He had busted me out already, but he wanted me free from that so I could go tell other people about freedom. I could go tell other people, this is what God can do for you. This is the freedom that he offers you. He can take away the shame. He can take away the guilt. He can take away every bit of your past that you never thought you could use, right? But now today I can stand in front of you and I am unashamed of who I was because I am free now.
Amen.
So I don't have to be ashamed that that's who I was and it's this awkward thing to talk about. It's not awkward for me anymore because I hope that this testimony right now would speak into some of your lives and you would know that there can be freedom in Jesus, that there can be freedom from shame and guilt in your life, that it's possible. I need you to hear, I never thought it was possible for me. I lived years and years and years thinking this is just the way it's always going to be. My whole life is just going to be this hiding and wondering, God, is there ever going to be something more for me? And I whipped myself. I hated myself. But I want you to know, I've found freedom. God is good. I am so, so thankful. So thankful. So thankful. And God wants to do the same for you today. He wants to do the same thing for you today. It is never too late. You are never so stuck that you can't get out. Let today be the turning point. Let today be the moment that you say no more. I am confessing this. I am accepting the forgiveness in my life. And I will step into a renewed purpose in my freedom. Let today be that day for you.
Praise God. He's so good. Cody, don't stop. Just come back. It was amazing. So, so good. We're going to go into worship now, and I want you to know that these moments are holy moments. They're set up for you. And so, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday that was like, some weird stuff happened when I started going to your church. Like, God started moving in my life, and I thought, that's just like what he does. Like, he's here, and he's moving, and he's after you. Like, you maybe haven't been to church for a while, and you came in, and we started talking about confession and transparency. You're like, dang it. Like, this is the message for me today. And so I just want us to be open and lean into that. To have worship, and during that time, this is a chance for you to confess. I mean, some of you just need to be done with it. Really, honestly, be done with it. And so we're going to have people ready to pray for you. We didn't have them picked out, so sorry on Kim. Would you be one of those people? Thank you. Ashley, would you also be one of those people? Wayne and Jane, I know I called on you last week too, but would you guys be willing to pray? Sorry, I'm just staying on the left side here. I'm sure there's plenty of wonderful people that could pray, but thank you guys for last minute. So we're going to have 2 on each side, and if you just want to go up and confess, you know, Ben Welling is here, and I'm just thinking about you as Cody was talking. We had a similar message about confession or something that day, and we had people praying on the side, and Ben went up and he just confessed, and you've shared the story, so I know I can share it openly. He had been having nightmares, PTSD from war. He had been a soldier at war, and he came up, he started confessing it. You know, this is the first time at church, I think. I don't even think we had met each other, and he's just weeping and confessing, and after that, PTSD was dealt with and gone. Like, there was like, it was a miracle. It was a miracle. That day. I mean, this is what happens. We confess our sins to one another. We are healed. That's a promise in Scripture, but also a challenge. And so we're going to go into worship. If you would like to just be free today, these people are here to pray for you. They're not going to tell anyone. They're probably going to forget, honestly, because God has that grace on our lives. But go confess. The second thing, if you are living in shame, I'm telling you, I'm going to boss you around. Get up and get prayer. That is not for God's children. Shame is not something that is allowed. So we are going to get up and we're going to go get prayer and we're going to feel awkward walking over there and I don't know you, but who cares? Get over it. Get the shame gone. All right? So we're going to do that. We're going to go. And then, you know, some of you might just hearing about this purpose that happens when we confess, we accept forgiveness. And sometimes that's exciting, but also like kind of overwhelming. Like, I don't know, what does God want to do with my life? If you just want prayer for that, for wisdom and clarity, you can get up and go get prayer. So I hope that this worship time is just filled with that, just movement around the room and just seeking God. And so I'm going to have, they're already up here. Awesome. I'm going to have you bow your heads. I want to ask, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, and you're hearing about this God that mediates for us and takes away our sin and our guilt, there is no better time to start a relationship with Him than right now. And we want to offer that. We always want to offer that at our church. If you want to start a relationship with Jesus Christ, would you just raise your hand? We want to give you that opportunity. Thank you. Thank you. That's amazing. The Bible says the angels rejoice when people give their lives. They start this relationship with Jesus. And this is what's offered to you, this freedom and victory over cycles of sin and brokenness and chains in our lives. And then I want to ask, if you have something that you need to confess or you just need to give up shame, would you just be brave to raise your hand? Would that be the first step? Would you just raise your hand? Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for being brave. I hope that you will take the next step. So I'm going to pray for our courage. I'm going to pray for our courage as we go into this time. So God, we just are so grateful, Lord. We are so undeserving. We're so undeserving, Father. There's no story like it. There's no story like the one that you've written for our lives, for humanity, God, that people don't have to earn their way. Because we just can't, God. We've tried to do good things. We even try, you know, every Monday to lose 5 pounds. I mean, God, we're just these people that walk in cycles of just starting and stopping, starting and stopping. And Father, you know that about people, and you just say, it's done. I got to deal with it. So Father, thank you. Thank you. Lord, we give you praise, God, where there's been in our mouth just negativity and in our hearts and our minds just shame and guilt and sin. God, I pray today you would give us a new song to sing. So, Father, move in this place. Holy Spirit, we don't want a fabricated emotional experience. God, we want you to move in this place, and we invite you, God, break the chains of sin, break cycles, even years. Cody said 13, 14 years of sin. God, it's not too much for you. And so break it today. And God, I pray that freedom would unleash, that it would the atmosphere in here would be light and airy and exciting for what you're going to do in our lives. And Father, I pray today, would you help people step into purpose? God, you have gifted us specifically for your mission. Father, some people in this room are called to be ministers for your gospel, God, pastors in this room that they haven't stepped forward yet. Some people in here are called to be marketplace ministers, people called to their jobs, and God, you want to use them and unleash them in the secular world, God, for your gospel. And so, Father, would you just unleash purpose here? Would you bring clarity and insight today in a new way? So, Father, we hand you this time, we hand you our hearts, and we just ask, God, move. In Jesus' name, amen.